Lloyd remembers when.
We start this week's Radio Moments looking back to 1968, and Frank Gillard was reflecting on the first year of experimental BBC local radio.
By this time next year, we shall be engaged in the business of evaluating, for the Postmaster General, the success that the stations have had in the period of their operation as experiments. And it's on the strength of the assessment that will be made next year that decisions will be taken whether to go ahead with a great expansion of local radio, or whether to curtail the operation, perhaps even to cancel what's happened so far.
The voice of Frank Gillard, the architect of BBC Local Radio, speaking this week in 1968. Frank was also an accomplished war correspondent, and he died this week in 1998. It's the 35th anniversary this week for this station.
It's Thursday the 15th of October 1981, and your new local radio station is born. Chiltern Radio, serving Bedfordshire, Hertfordshire and Buckinghamshire. We hope that you will get much pleasure and enjoyment from the programmes we have prepared for you.
Chiltern Radio Local News. This is Sim Harris. A 25-year-old Hertfordshire man committed suicide only days after being suspected of forging bank payments of £22,000. Paul Cook reports.
The Beach Boys and I Can Hear Music, the first record ever played right here on Chiltern Radio. Good morning, it's 7 minutes past six. I'm Paul Holmes.
And welcome. I'm Tony Newman. Good morning.
And there is a good morning. You didn't get lost this morning?
No, I didn't, actually. Just down the road.
It's a bit of a grand morning, isn't it, really? All the governors in here. You notice this all
I think that double act needed just a little bit of fine-tuning, didn't it? Happy birthday, Chiltern. Its 35-year journey was to pass through GWR hands to end up with GCAP and then Global. It's now Heart. This week in 1974 saw the birth of Radio City in Liverpool. Radio critic Gillian Reynolds.
I got a phone call from Terry Smith, who I knew a bit because we'd worked together in television, and I knew a bit about the reputation of his news agency, and I knew how hard he'd worked and how much he'd worked at Radio Merseyside. And he said, I'm getting together, I really liked what you wrote, I'm getting together a consortium to apply for the Liverpool franchise. Would you be interested? I said, oh, no. No, not my kind of thing at all.
Gillian Reynolds, who famously became City's first PC and the first ever woman programme controller in commercial radio.
It's 2 minutes to six on Monday, October the 21st, 1974. For the very first time, this is 194 Radio City, broadcasting to Merseyside.
Happy birthday, Radio City. Local radio wins when the weather gets bad, if it can stay on air at all. This week, 29 years ago, on LBC, Douglas Cameron battled on.
On the 16th of October, 1987, I found myself having to broadcast from the LBC radio car parked outside our studios in Gough Square. A great storm had swept across the country, felling trees and power lines and causing death and injury. All the power to LBC's headquarters had been cut off, and I had to read the news by candlelight.
Now, coming up, on time, this never fails, the news. It's 9 o'clock. This is Douglas Cameron. At least four people have died after winds gusting at more than 100 miles an hour wrought havoc across southern England. Public transport is ground to a halt.
Look at him. He even hit the network junction by candlelight. Douglas Cameron reflecting on LBC's response to that great storm 29 years ago. But that challenge for Douglas was a minor matter compared to the one which BBC newsreader Bruce Beldridge had to cope with this week in 1940 as a bomb hit Broadcasting House.
Its explosion resulted in several casualties, some of them fatal. I had not been informed of the discovery, a wise decision, I think, since the knowledge would have had, I'm sure, the most disturbing effect on my delivery. The studio where I sat was well below ground, and the only damage it suffered was the dislodgement of some plaster and a quantity of soot which temporarily obscured my script. I've frequently been accused of having made some audible comment at the time, the nature of which has varied in the reporting from the blasphemous to the obscene. I didn't. The voice which was heard was that of the duty officer in the corridor outside who just said, it's all right.
One of the bombings of Broadcasting House this week in 1940. Seven people were killed. This week, 43 years ago, the first commercial music radio station launched.
This is an engineering test transmission being made by the Independent Broadcasting Authority.
You can turn on the road with Capital Radio.
I mean, we were very confident that we that there was a place for the kind of radio that independent radio was going to offer. But I don't think we ever knew, right from the very beginning, of the real crisis which hit us. I mean, we had neither listeners, nor did we have advertisers. I mean, the number of advertisers were half a dozen.
Happy 43rd birthday to Capital. From humble beginnings, our network grew. And even when there was very little else around in London to listen to, I don't think Capital ever topped a 50% listening share. But that's what Island FM in Guernsey has achieved this year. And that station launched this week, 24 years ago.
It's exactly 6:30. This is Island FM. Good morning. Across
the island. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with the latest news and information and the best in music. 104.7
Island FM. Madonna, she's up early as well this morning. La Isla Bonita, the first tune on Island FM. Wow, the excitement. Wish it wasn't so early, I could get more excited. 26 minutes to 7 o'clock.
Check out the weather with Aladdin's Cave.
Cloudy at first with occasional rain becoming fair with sunny.
Happy birthday to lovely little Island FM. It's now 8 long BBC years since the phone call that was to change compliance processes across the corporation.
Hello, Andrew Sachs. This is Russell Brand. Oh, I'm a great appreciator of your work over decades. You're going to be on my show now, mate. I don't know why you're not answering the phone. It's a bit difficult. I'm here with Jonathan Ross.
Hello, Andrew.
That's Jonathan Ross speaking now. We understand. Anyway, well, I can still do the interview to his answer phone.
Well, let's do it.
Andrew Sachs, you will be appearing in a documentary, The Bill Made Me Famous, with Martin Kemp, Roger Daltrey, Paul O'Grady, Pauline Quirk.
Yes.
Did the bill really make all those people famous, Andrew Sachs?
I maintain it didn't, Andrew Sachs.
That's Jonathan.
Sachsgate, as broadcast this week in 2008, thanks to Jonathan Ross and Russell Brand, heads rolled. Earlier this year, we lost Ed Stewart, and it was his voice that launched Radio Mercury this week, 32 years ago.
It's 8 o'clock on Saturday, the 20th of October, 1984. This, for the very first time, is Radio Mercury. Good morning, and I'm Ed Stewart, welcoming you to the very first transmission of the 48th station in the independent local radio network, Radio Mercury.
Happy birthday, Radio Mercury, and farewell, Stewpot, once again. So, with the launch of KISS 102 in Manchester 22 years ago, later Galaxy, now Capital.
This is the sound of KISS.
Regular stereo transmissions in London beginning 58 years ago.
Well, you need two receivers to hear this broadcast stereophonically. The one on the left should be tuned to Network 3, preferably on VHF, and the right-hand receiver to BBC Television Sound.
Quentin Howard, starting as a temporary engineer at BRMB 40 years ago.
I'll give you £36 a week. You're employed tomorrow till Christmas.
And Saga 105.7 FM, launched in the West Midlands 15 years ago.
We'll be playing melodic popular records from the 40s to the present day.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
This week in history, Radio Moments.